you smell what The Rock is cooking?
That's right, guys. We got an electrifying podcast for you today. We are doing What If The Rock Returns and Who Should His Opponent Be? Oh, yeah. This is going to be a fun one. Stay right here.
It's time to explore wrestling's past and potential future with your weekly dose of a segment we call What If? Only found here on the WWE Podcast.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast. Thank you for joining me. It is Monday, June 17th, 2019. Monday Night Raw is going live as we speak. And so I'll be doing a review show for that tomorrow and then a SmackDown Live review on Wednesday. So we got a really cool show for you guys today. And I'm bringing back the What If segment. I haven't done it in a while, but I got a lot of shows to fill this week. And maybe for the foreseeable future. You guys know I'm kind of running an experiment here and seeing how things go. So it's going to be a fun ride. And if I can make Mondays my What If, let me know what you guys think about that. I'm curious. Do you guys want a What If segment every week? Hey, let me know. I mean, this show's for you guys, so definitely throw me your feedback at Twitter, at the WWE Podcast, or go on into email, which still exists, and go to realwwepodcast@gmail.com. That's realwwepodcast@gmail.com if you prefer the email way. And just let me know, what do you guys think of this experiment that I'm running here? I mean, I know it's a little early in the week, but I want your feedback. I want your feedback because this is what this show is for, is for you and therapeutically for me. So definitely let me know if you have a moment. And today's show is all about The Rock. It's all about the What If. And I don't believe I've ever really spoken about this because I don't know how likely it is, but that's what we do here on the What If segment. We play pretend. We are in Mr. Rogers' world of make-believe, right? But I don't know if this is necessarily too far-fetched that The Rock returns and has one more match. He never officially retired from the ring. He had his last two official matches. I don't consider the Eric Rowan match of, what, 3-4 years ago at WrestleMania a real match. Okay, he hit one move, hit a rock bottom, 1-2-3, and that was the end of that. And I don't consider that a real match. So throwing that out the window. His last real match was with John Cena at WrestleMania 29, I believe, 28, 29, and ended up injuring himself. I think that's when he realized that, hey, you know, like, I can't be doing this anymore. Probably thought that at the time, tearing a hamstring and continuing with the match. So that was his last real in-ring match that he had. Yes, he had his moment at WrestleMania 30 with Austin and Hogan in a moment that was awesome to see. And yes, he had his moment with Rusev in Brooklyn a number of years ago when he was backstage and talking to Lana and comes out and ends up hitting a people's elbow on Rusev. Yeah, you remember when Rusev was actually worth something to WWE? Yeah, I remember that too. Ugh. But that was the last time, I believe, that we saw The Rock in a WWE ring was in Brooklyn all those years ago. I think it was three years ago, maybe it was. And so to think that The Rock is done with wrestling, I think would be foolhardy. How about that for a word? I think that he is going to come back in some capacity. And I think it could be in a guest referee role, maybe. That doesn't really seem to fit The Rock's personality. He interrupted Triple H and Stephanie and had that moment with them, with Ronda Rousey, before Ronda Rousey went to WWE. And so we had all that. And so he's kind of in that one-off mode of his career. And he doesn't have to come back. The Rock has no reason, nothing left to prove to come back other than as a thank you to fans. That's where he is at in his life. We all know how successful he is in Hollywood. There's no questions about that. The Rock is a megastar, if not the biggest star in Hollywood right now. John Cena quickly following in his footsteps. So we'll see if John Cena can achieve the level of Hollywood success that The Rock has, but that remains to be seen. But The Rock has nothing left to prove in wrestling. He doesn't owe us anything. For those people out there saying, oh, The Rock owes us one more match. No, he doesn't. Do you know how many years The Rock put his body on the line for this business and for the fans? He has more than proven his worth to fans. So that argument to me is out the window because he paid his dues and he gave us everything he had. And was one of the greatest of all time. No questions. So I think that that argument from fans is a bit selfish, to be honest. But again, I still believe that The Rock could have one more match. He could. And digging around in my brain today, I was looking at the Raw roster, the SmackDown roster, or really just the WWE roster, because Raw and SmackDown rosters don't really count since this wildcard rule was implemented. You know, also known as, we don't care about brand split anymore. But I really only came up with four names. I came up with four names that I believe that The Rock could have a program with, and a very good program with. And how realistic are these? Well, I'll go through them and I'll give you my thoughts on the likelihood of every one of these happening. Let me just say off the bat that I believe that any match he does have can and should and will be at a WrestleMania, and deservedly so. I don't believe he's coming back to, you know, have a main event match on Raw or a main event match on any B pay-per-view like Extreme Rules or anything like that. It's just not going to happen. The Rock deserves WrestleMania, and that's what he would get. So that's the where. When, honestly, the when is more difficult. Although I will say that Mother Nature is not on his side, and that the sooner he decides, if he decides to come back, the better it will be for him, the quality of his match, and ultimately the program. We all don't want to see a shell of what The Rock was. We want to see The Rock be The Rock. So that's the when, would be as soon as possible. And honestly, I really believe it could happen at this year's WrestleMania in Tampa. It could happen. If it's going to happen, Tampa may not be a bad place. Tampa may not be a bad place. The Rock frequents Florida. Obviously, he is from Miami. And while it's not down the street from Tampa, it's pretty damn close. And so that could be the when. Now the question is the who. Who would The Rock face if he comes back? I'll give you one of the names, and to start you guys off here. And this is probably the least likely, although boy is it. It's a close race when I see the names on my paper here. So I think that the number four selection, and I didn't come up with an even top five because I really believe that there were only really four that could do this. And I'm sure you guys are thinking of other names and let me know. But number four on my list is Seth Rollins. Now, Seth Rollins could carry anybody in a match. That's the big positives. He could make The Rock look like $1 million. He could do a lot of the hard work for The Rock. He could flip-flop and fly for The Rock. Their promos, I think, could be pretty good against one another. But how would they get there? Because Seth Rollins is the at least booked top babyface for WWE. So how would they get there with Seth Rollins? I don't know. I really don't. I don't know how they get there, but Seth in ring would be one of the best opponents The Rock could have, because I think it would mesh well with The Rock's style, who is mostly about power moves, quick movements, charisma, showmanship. The Rock has a lot of those assets that I think Seth could play very nicely off of. And again, Seth could fill in 90% of the holes and make The Rock look, like I said, like $1 million. And that's what good performers do. So I think that's my number four. My number three is Drew McIntyre. Drew McIntyre could be one of the, and I think will be, one of the best heels in WWE. They're clearly grooming him right now, getting the rub from Shane McMahon, hanging around with a McMahon. Drew McIntyre has grown in front of our eyes. He has the believability that a lot of guys don't. He stands there, cuts a promo, and you feel it. You don't just look at him and go, this is so scripted. You don't look at him and go, my God, I'm not even engaged. When you watch Drew McIntyre, you have an emotion. You feel something. You're listening. You're paying attention. And that's a key. It is, if not the most important thing you can do, is make a promo believable. Even if it's not something that you agree with as a performer, you need to make everybody else believe it, which means you need to partially believe it yourself, or we will read through it and see through it. And Drew McIntyre has done a very good job of being able to make us believe. And I really believe he has also, on top of that, not just had really good promos, but he has gotten into an amazing physical condition from the last time that we saw his first go around with WWE. He looks like a monster. He acts like one. You know, when you look at him, you believe that this guy's like this behind the scenes. You know, you think that, man, like, I know this is wrestling, but I feel like he's actually like that. How often does that happen in WWE in 2019? How often do you look at a promo and go, man, he or she, I really think that they're like that. They got to be like that backstage. They're not faking it. How often does that happen? Not often. And Drew McIntyre's got that asset. That's a key. And again, him getting the rub from Shane McMahon is a good thing right now. It's positioning Drew in a big way, because how many segments do these guys get on Raw and SmackDown every week? They seem to be the focal point. Yeah, Elias is kind of the forgotten redhead stepchild. We know that. Elias is just kind of there. And, oh yeah, he wrestles once in a while. He doesn't just come out, play his guitar, and get interrupted, which seems to be his Achilles heel right now. And I think Elias needs to do more than that. To me, that is an act that is getting old real quick. So Elias could also benefit from this. But right now, the focus right now, the one I'm talking about, is Drew McIntyre. And I think he has the ability to go one-on-one with The Rock. He could come face-to-face, if positioned correctly. Drew McIntyre, if built correctly over the next 5-6 months, maybe at the Royal Rumble, they have a confrontation. The Rock's music hits. They come face-to-face. Drew McIntyre could cut a really good promo on The Rock saying, you had your time. You don't belong here anymore. I'm here now. And if you don't leave, I'm going to destroy you. I mean, you could come up with some really good stuff for Drew that would make it believable. And you'd want to see The Rock kick his ass. So Drew McIntyre, I believe, is believable. I think he is on the list. I think he's on the list. So, okay. I'm going to take a quick break, but I promise you, the next two, I have a lot to say on, and I think are the most realistic. You could probably guess one of them, maybe both of them, but just because it's predictable doesn't mean that it's not worth hearing my opinion on this, because I've been wanting to see this, both of these, for about 5 years minimum. That I've been clamoring, begging, salivating for these matches, both of them. And I honestly don't even know which one I'd want to see more, but I want them to happen. So I'm going to give you guys those two names and my thoughts. But first, a word from the sponsor of the show. So have you guys tried CBD oil? If you haven't, I'd really recommend that you do. My wife loves it. It helps her relax. And I found a website that is probably the most comprehensive that there is. And that's CBDBargainStore.com. That's CBDBargainStore.com. And when you go on this website, first of all, you'll get a 15% discount on your first order, and you can join the email list for continued great price deals. But they don't just sell the oil. They also sell balms, lotions, capsules, pure CBD oil, obviously, and several pet products for your furry family members. So what exactly is CBD? It's a natural chemical compound that comes from the hemp plant, and it's one of over 85 compounds found in hemp, known as cannabinoids. However, CBD is not a psychotropic cannabinoid like THC. It's not what you find in marijuana, so CBD does not produce intoxication or euphoria. And guess what? It works. Like I said, my wife uses it. I've tried it, and it really just helps you calm down if you have anxiety issues or if you're stressed. This really can be a really awesome product. And right now, you can check the best deal that I've seen out on CBDBargainStore.com. Again, you'll get 15% off of your first order, and there's free shipping on orders of $75 and more. Oh, and did I mention that they have CBD peanut butter? Yeah, check that out. I love peanut butter, and if you love peanut butter, this is going to be your perfect combination. So check out CBDBargainStore.com. That's CBDBargainStore. Want to work out but don't have the time? Then the 15-minute Super Serum Workout should be your first choice. A full-body workout designed with strategic workouts that will get your entire body energized. Accompanied with a weekly emailed nutrition plan, you are bound to start living a more healthy life. Pick up your copy of the Super 15-Minute Workout at SuperSerumFit.com. That's SuperSerum, S-E-R-U-M, Fit.com. All right, guys, welcome back, and let's get to my number two pick. That is Roman Reigns. Now, my gut tells me this is not going to happen, and the reason that my gut tells me it's not going to happen is because of one thing and one thing only, and that is Vince McMahon and his refusal to turn Roman Reigns heel. Now, you say, well, you could turn The Rock heel. Really? You really believe that the fans will turn on The Rock after being away from WWE for quite some time to side with a guy that they're lukewarm about, have given extremely negative reactions to in the past, have not really connected with, and have nowhere near the star power of The Rock, nowhere near the energy of The Rock, the charisma, the talent on the mic as The Rock? But yeah, let's turn The Rock heel. So if anybody gives me that argument, I'm sorry, I will not be able to retort you because I'll be laughing. It's just not possible. It's not possible. So they could do this match, but the refusal of Vince McMahon to turn Roman Reigns heel, I think, will put a kibosh on this. However, let's play devil's advocate. Let's imagine this beautiful world, this fantasy world, in which Vince McMahon says, you know what, guys, listen, I woke up this morning and I had an epiphany. I know no one's said this before, but I think we should turn Roman heel. And once Vince McMahon has this epiphany, and the light shines down from the heavens, and we have the angels singing, then and only then would we be able to get a Rock versus Roman match, which you would turn Roman heel, and you would benefit everyone. Why? Because everybody wants to cheer The Rock. People have been clamoring to boo Roman Reigns and give a real reason to boo Roman Reigns. And ultimately, long-term, you would be benefiting Roman Reigns' career tenfold, because you could have him say that he main-evented a WrestleMania with The Rock, one of the greatest of all time. And I wouldn't even care if he beat The Rock clean in that match. And I would actually expect him to. Why? Because Roman Reigns has a hell of a lot more years in front of him with WWE than The Rock does, especially in ring, right? And you would want Roman Reigns to beat The Rock clean. Even if he's a heel, just because he's a heel in that match wouldn't mean that he has to cheat to win. You would want Roman to beat The Rock clean. And then maybe put another beating on him after the match, make him that much nastier, make the people really despise him. There's some things you could do there that would really get some serious heat on Roman Reigns. And, you know, this is a match that I think is a little bit more likely than a Drew McIntyre, a little bit more likely than a Seth Rollins, even an AJ Styles. I think it's more likely than any of those. And it's a match that, again, would skyrocket Roman Reigns' career, because ultimately that's the key here, right? The key here, if Vince McMahon is just completely affiliated and obsessed with making Roman Reigns the biggest star that WWE's ever had, this would be a way to do it. And, you know, he may say, well, we're not turning him heel to get him successful. Who hasn't turned heel that has been successful, that has not been successful? Name one individual in the history of wrestling. Anybody. You can't say John Cena either, because John Cena started out as a heel as the Doctor of Thugonomics. Granted, after he morphed into this corporate suit who likes to make women and children scream and says corny lines and all that. And you could say that, well, John Cena never turned heel, but he did. He was a heel to begin with. He was a babyface for 95% of his career, but he did have that heel run. As small as it was there. Roman Reigns has not had that yet as a singles competitor. He was a heel a little bit in the Shield, and then everybody started to love the Shield, so the whole group turned babyface, and now they split off, and Roman, since the split, has not changed at all. Yes, his in-ring work has improved. Yes, his promos have slightly improved. I wouldn't even say slightly. I'd say they've improved significantly. But here's the problem. You could say, oh, well, he skyrocketed to the top too far. He didn't take baby steps in the Intercontinental Championship. He went right from splitting up with the Shield straight into the main event picture. And yeah, that's a piece of it. But you're forgetting the big part here. You're forgetting that nothing has changed. Roman Reigns, the character, has not evolved at all. Okay, they've tweaked his entrance a little bit. And that only happened over the last couple of years, where he doesn't come through the audience anymore. He comes down the ramp, like the rest of the boys and the rest of the adults. But he continues to come out there. He looks the same. He's got the same music. It's not very inspirational music either. It doesn't get me up and excited. You got heel music that's more exciting than Roman Reigns. Hell, Dolph Ziggler's music is more exciting. Sami Zayn's music is more exciting. They're both heels. Kevin Owens is more exciting. He's a heel. Roman Reigns is just a dun-dun-dun. I mean, it brings me down. It brings me down, and I want to see Roman succeed. I really, really want to see Roman succeed. I'm not a Roman hater to the point of he should be banned. No, I think he's a hell of an athlete. But the problem is that the presentation of Roman Reigns has not been allowed to breathe and evolve and grow. You can tell he's gotten a little bit more freedom on the mic. That's good. That's a good step. It's good. Yeah, and he had the whole cancer thing, and people go, yay, he survived cancer, and I know somebody that survived cancer too, and what a great feel-good story. And you know what? That it's all wonderful. It all makes, you know, brings a tear to a glass eye, as Jim Ross would say. It's great. Okay? I'm not belittling anybody with cancer. I'm just saying that all goes away. People have short memories, and then you're just back to the wrestling character that you were, Roman Reigns. You are just Roman Reigns, who comes out there, delivers a minimum of 6 to 7 Superman punches every single time he's there, does a couple of spears, gives an angry face after he gets beat up, and then you don't see him again. There's no energy. There's no enthusiasm. It's just Mr. Too Cool for School. I don't want to be there. I'm here because I'm paid to be here. I don't feel like he genuinely cares and wants to be there. I feel like he's just the corporate... He's just the choice of the corporation and the choice of management of what a model wrestling champion should be. And that is the problem with Roman Reigns, the way he's presented. He's still wearing the tactical gear. Seth and Dean both evolved from that and were very successful. despite all the goofiness that Dean Ambrose put up with and was very vocal about on several interviews. So Roman just hasn't, he's just stuck. He's stuck in 2014. He's got the same hair. He's got the same entrance music. He's got the same look. So benefiting with a match from The Rock, you talk about a putting a jetpack on a guy. Whoa, you could really, and I would love to see it. And I would love to see Roman go over because I want to hate him even more. I want to loathe him. Because right now, I watch Roman Reigns and go, meh. I mean, do I want to see him beat the hell out of Shane McMahon? Yeah. But do I care about the character? Not really. I care about him beating up Shane McMahon, which tells me I just want to see Shane get beat up, not Roman Reigns' character be successful, if that makes sense. So Roman is just kind of, and I've said this before, he's sleepwalking. Roman Reigns is sleepwalking right now. And you can feel it. There's just lights are on, but nobody's home. I don't know where Roman Reigns' brain is at. Is it home with his family? Is something going on? I mean, who knows? Maybe it's just scripted to feel this way. I doubt it. Your job is to elicit emotion as a performer. Your job is to get people engaged. He's like the worst motivational speaker of all time. I mean, really. Imagine you have a motivational speaker come to your school, your college, your work, whatever. And they're paid a whole hell of a lot of money. And they come out on stage and you're expecting this big rah-rah. And it's just kind of like this monotone guy who, yeah, he looks the part, but he doesn't talk the part. You know, the part that's supposed to bring you into a story. The part that's supposed to engage you. It's missing. And I don't know where it is. And I don't know if Roman's ever really had it for me. I want to see the heel. I want to see a reinvigorated Roman Reigns. I've seen every facet, every illustration, every version of a babyface Roman Reigns. I've seen it. We've seen it. We've seen every attempt by WWE and Vince McMahon to try to get the crowd with him. And, you know, to some extent they have. And the whole beating cancer thing certainly helped, although that's starting to fade. We've seen every version, though, but he's not getting the reaction. The even if it is positive, it's just kind of like, well, the women and children are cheering, but the guys are just kind of staying silent because they don't want to boo a guy who just overcame cancer. So it's not that the guys are cheering for him now. It's just that they're being silent. I think that's ultimately what it is. And again, I am a huge Roman Reigns fan, but not in the role that he's in. And I've said this. My God, I can't believe I'm still saying this 4 or 5 years later. It's absolutely amazing. Or sad. Or scary. Maybe all of them. Then I'm still saying this. But a match with The Rock and having him beat The Rock? Think about that. Think about what that would do for Roman Reigns' career. Just think about it. You wouldn't want to have The Rock go over there. Why would you have The Rock beat Roman Reigns? You wouldn't. You wouldn't, because The Rock is going to be gone the next day. Roman Reigns is still going to be there. He's going to have to live with that loss of a guy who's barely there. So you have The Rock lose clean, and you take that loss and have Roman repeat it over and over and over and over until the fans can't stand it anymore and want someone to shut him up. And you pair him with a guy who's there every week. And you can have a long-term program with. So, that's my story with Roman Reigns. Now, who is the number one? Who do I want to see, or who do I actually believe is the most likely, is probably a better way to phrase it, because number one for me would be Roman and Brock, to be honest with you. But the most likely scenario would be Brock Lesnar facing The Rock. And happening at WrestleMania, because we all know Brock doesn't compete on Raw. So it would definitely be at a major pay-per-view, most likely WrestleMania, as that match would be deservedly so. So how did they get there? Easy. These two already have a backstory. A backstory that was never resolved 17 years ago. 17 years ago at SummerSlam 2002. Brock beats The Rock clean in the middle of the ring. And just as a reminder, because I know you guys love to hear it, I love to relive it. Here's a little bit of audio from that match. That's what you pull from right there. You could pull from a 17-year rivalry that these two have been on. And while that was their only match for the WWF Championship, it really, I think, their only match, period. And there was no follow-up to that. The Rock left shortly after that. And so, you know, people are starting to turn on The Rock at that point anyway. They were getting a little bit tired of the same old song and dance. Brock Lesnar was that upcoming guy, and I discussed this on my podcast yesterday, so I won't get into too much, but you guys know the story. I mean, I was sitting there rooting for The Rock. I was like, hey, there's no way The Rock can lose here. He beats everybody. And Lesnar was the heel, but the people were starting to get behind Lesnar because he was new and different and a beast and something they'd never seen. And so you could hear the crowd reaction to that. The crowd reaction was in favor of Brock Lesnar. And so you could pull from that. You could pull from 17 years ago. And I've been waiting for this rematch. Both guys don't want to get hurt. Both guys are not the future. So I understand that. And typically I'm a proponent of making sure that if you have a massive star in the ring that is returning, you want a younger talent in the ring on the other side of the ring as their opponent to get the rub so that you're building new stars. That's how the machine works, right? But in this case, while neither man is the future of WWE, this is such a big match and attraction that it belongs at WrestleMania. And I'm fine with nobody getting the rub on this because it is just that big. I think it's bigger than Rock and Roman. I think it's bigger than Rock and Drew, Rock and AJ, Rock and Seth, Rock and Samoa Joe. Throw anybody in there. Rock Brock, not only does it sound cool, but boy, would it sell tickets. Rock Brock needs to happen. It has to happen. While Brock is still under contract, while The Rock can still go, both men are very safe. This could be an explosive match, a well-paced match. They seem to work very well together. And again, I love when they pull on the history of wrestling. And boy, could they use this match to lay the foundation for this rivalry being renewed. Maybe they bump into each other backstage at Survivor Series. Maybe The Rock is, like, you know, just visiting as the, I don't know, he's hosting Survivor Series or something, and he bumps into somebody, turns around, and it's Brock Lesnar. And that's where the seeds are planted. And then, you know, you have some follow-up on Twitter, and they have a Twitter war, which leads to, you know, them going face-to-face at Raw before the Royal Rumble. And you could create a program here, even set the seeds at SummerSlam. You could do a lot here with Rock Brock. And I think both men would put on a very good match. I don't think this is a case of, you know, these two individuals who would be shells of themselves, embarrassing themselves. This is a match that is still, while it's still possible, they should do it because it would be awesome. This is a match. Well, while I don't think it would be a 5-star classic in the sense of the word of, oh my God, there's so many, you know, flips and all this. No, 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 no. This is nostalgia. This is two ring generals. These are two alpha males who have a history, and we never got follow-up from 17 years ago. Maybe they do it at this year's SummerSlam. Maybe they would. Maybe, how poetic would that be? That would be, to me, if I was booking and I had an unlimited checkbook, I would be in the Rock's ear, putting feelers out there, saying, hey, Rock, what about that one more match? What about that one more match? Who would you want it to be? Why not Brock Lesnar? I think you could sell The Rock on that. And I think you could sell Brock on that. Brock Lesnar, for the first time in a long time, may actually care about his damn match that he's in. And while he doesn't care about too many people, he's an introvert, well documented, I think he would care about this one because of how big The Rock is. Arguably, not even arguably, he is a bigger star than Brock Lesnar in terms of name value, name brand awareness. Yes, Brock destroyed the MMA world. He blew up WWE, blah, blah, blah. But The Rock is a crossover, cross-platform star that was not just in WWE, but in the movie and Hollywood realm and universe that covers more eyeballs than UFC does. So The Rock is a bigger star. He's made more money. You could have Brock play the awesome heel. I think it would reinvigorate Brock's career. And Lord knows Brock needs a little bit of a jolt in his career. As big of a star as Brock is, kind of feels flat too right now. The Rock could really, really just, he could pop the ratings. He could make this year's WrestleMania one that is truly a dream match on the card. One that's not eye-rolling as Goldberg and Undertaker was, that we all knew of that disaster was coming. This one would not, I don't believe, be a disaster with proper training, proper rehearsals, proper booking, proper time given to the match, all things that are possible, all things that are doable, and a match that needs to happen this year, or at least the seeds being planted this year for a match in April in Tampa in 2020. So there you have it, guys. Those are my what-ifs, and a lot of what-ifs that I hope happen, particularly this year and maybe early next year with The Rock returning to WWE. So before I get rolling out of here, guys, I just want to touch on some of the news coming through, and I know Raw's going on as I speak, so the things that I say right now are probably outdated. However, in real time right now, I'm looking and I'm seeing Newswire come through that Daniel Bryan is going to be visiting Monday Night Raw, and he'll be going one-on-one with Seth Rollins. So while these two have never had a legitimate singles program throughout their career, it could very well be the beginning of it. Now, how this and why this is happening, why hopefully Daniel Bryan explains why he's invoking the wild card rule to show up on Monday Night Raw and he doesn't just show up, because we have no idea how this actually works. Again, details are just non-existent in storylines. Just non-existent. Tell us how it works. Is it a random lottery? I don't know. I don't know. But I guess I'm never going to get that answer. So Seth Rollins and Daniel Bryan become one-on-one. And it'll be interesting to see if this does indeed lead to a much, much, much longer program between these two. And I hope it does. I really do. I think it will too. Some other news here: Bray Wyatt is rumored to be debuting on Raw this week. So cross your fingers, folks. Could WWE undo all of the goodwill that they have put forth with the Firefly Funhouse in one fell swoop by having Bray Wyatt debut in some capacity that completely undercuts his success in the Firefly Funhouse? Boy, I want to say no. I really want to say no. My soul wants to say no. But my brain says, you've been proven right and wrong before on this, that WWE cannot successfully bring a superstar from vignettes into execution on TV. So, I mean, look what they did with I know this is not the best parallel, but Adam Rose, complete flop from his vignettes saying, you know, I don't know, he was like into partying or something, I don't know, but they've had a track record of not being able to bring forth the stars from camera on into the ring. So it'd be interesting to see there. Big Cass has also said in a recent interview that his life was falling apart and that his mental health issues and alcoholism were a big problem prior or subsequently to WWE's releasing him. And he recently went on a interview on Pro Wrestling Sheet, give him credit. He said that the last time people saw me, I was fat, I was drunk, and I was out of shape. I was on the floor going to the hospital because I had a seizure. My life was falling apart, mental health issues, I was an alcoholic, all that. 6 months later, I'm 300 effing pounds. I'm a tank, I'm shredded, I look amazing, I'm in the best shape of my life. Nothing's going to stop me, I'll tell you that. Fighting Jon Moxley, of course, he's going to get the win, kudos to him. As humble as always with Big Cass, but you know, we all saw the picture circulating around months ago of him showing up at an indie show, and he was fat, out of shape, and now we know he was also drunk. But good to hear that he has turned things around, and so that's always a good thing. And let's see what else is going on in the wire. So Batista still coming through the news wire, even though he was officially retired from professional wrestling and has gone on record numerous times of saying no more, one more match, I'm done. He has gone on record of speaking about AEW and said about AEW, I don't see it as a legitimate competition. I see it as competition, but not legitimate, which is great. There should always be competition, but until they actually produce one of their own major stars, until they have a production that is as big as WWE. I mean, WWE has the next three generations of superstars because they have NXT camps all over the world now. So they're far ahead of the game, and I don't see any real competition, not even close. Let me tell you this, Batista, who, you know, outside of OVW, was a born and bred WWE guy, and that's all he knows. That's great that WWE has all these camps around the world and they have a great production team. That's wonderful. But I think you're missing the picture here. While AEW has not created any new stars of their own, they are reinventing the stars that WWE could not produce. Now, they're not WWE light. They're not the garbage that is left over from WWE. But they know how to let a guy and gal be themselves and create stars on their own. You could have the best production team. So you're standing on the premise that a large production team and having NXT camps all over the world, and you have the next three generations of superstars. But that's great. But the point is, WWE's presentation and illustration of what they view as professional wrestling is the problem. So all you're doing is just spreading more of the problem. So you can have a great production team and camps all over the world, but if the ideology at its core is the problem, you are just making the problem grow faster. Do you see what I mean? Their presentation, their feeling, their logic of how pro wrestling should be presented in 2019 is the problem. Not that AEW doesn't have enough camps. They don't need them. Oh, they don't have a big production team. I think Jon Moxley did pretty damn well, and he didn't have a production team behind him as he cut those promos. Batista is so WWE centric and been brainwashed by management there and just into thinking that they're the only game in town. They're trying to competition, but not true competition. You might want to look twice. You might want to look twice because they don't need to have production, a massive production team. to be considered successful and be true competition, because that's not the only way to be successful. WWE's way and ideology are not the only way to be successful, and it's being proven right now with declining ratings and terrible writing. So yeah, have all the camps you want, because right now, AEW is taking advantage of that. And speaking of AEW, check out my website, by the way, WWEpodcast.com. I just published an article from one of our newest contributors, authors, and he has written about AEW and why it's good for business. So that's right on the homepage. It's also under the opinions column. So check that out. And I think it's going to intrigue you. It was a very good read for myself as well. And really, really fun to have different people on the team than just me. I like having different ideas. And by the way, so you know, my name is Mike Sachs. Meant to mention his name. He was the one who sent me the article and I published it. So great to have him on the team along with everybody else. And this team's growing. It's a fun time. It's a fun time to be a part of this show. And thank you so much to everybody who's making it such a success. So, okay. Well, that's all I got for you today. But guess what? I'll be back tomorrow. I'm going to be back tomorrow with a Monday Night Raw review for you. So, strap in. There's a lot more content to come this week. Again, thank you guys for listening to the show. As always, I'll talk to you next time.